Welcome to Dominate for Two, a War Machine and Hordes podcast. I'm Alex.
I'm Mark.
I'm Brett.
Are you, though?
Every time I say it wrong, I guess. Introducing your name is hard.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
Oh, damn it. I just died when I wasn't paying attention because of the stupid business.
Yeah, so today we're no longer a War Machine podcast. We're only talking about Smash Ultimate. Did any of you guys catch Valhalla last night?
What?
Not.
It was a tournament in Sweden, I think. I mostly watched because I'm a TSM fan and Leffen was there. He made it to top 8 and then kind of flubbed it. And I was sad. But yeah, so this episode is about 2018, and so we're going to be talking about...
You mean 2019?
No, not 2019, which...
I mean, we could do a retrospective, but...
No, it's for weaklings.
Alex, are you suggesting a rewind?
It's rewind time.
Just hit the button, we're doing the year over.
And so we're going to be looking at 2019. Did I get it right this time?
Yes.
And what we think the game's going to look like, what we're looking to try and grow on here, and what events we're going to go to, and just kind of like go through our plans for the whole year. So why don't we start with how we see the game now and what we think it's going to look like?
Well, I mean, starting with how the game now is a little bit odd because every time I talk to online communities, you know, I look at the kinds of problems they're stumbling with and, you know, sort of in my head being like, whoa, that in no way would fly in Northern California or California generally. But I run into the problem every now and again that maybe I think we have a little bit of a skewed perspective. The California metagame tends to run heavier than normal. Armies tend to be on the very tough end of things. Not super high speed or high mobility, but like absolutely punishing attrition play is kind of the norm here. And, you know, when I look around from that perspective, it's almost kind of hard for me to diagnose where the rest of the country is going to be, given how different California is. Like, are we going to catch up with them? Or are they going to catch up with us? I don't know.
I think that is sort of what I feel like the meta trend is anyways. Like, all of the recent CID releases have all kind of just, like, propped up medium base infantry.
So I've got a hot take right now that it's going to go heavily towards single wound infantry in 2019 because we just had the Doom Reaver from the Christmas Cornucopia. We just went through Steelhead CID. Rhett and Exalted and Exemplar are starting to like pick up speed. And then they've announced that this year, unless something changes, we're going to see Pirates and we're going to see Dwarves. So to me, that kind of reads as there's going to be a lot more single wound infantry.
Interesting. I wonder how that's going to... So like to my thinking, there's some sort of natural limits on that. Like Tharn does really well against single wound troops, and I think they're going to be a pretty driving force, at least for the first half of the year. And like speaking to beyond the first half of the year, to me, it's kind of opaque because a lot of it depends on... the CID cycle and then what gets developed over the course of the next 6 months. In the champions docket, I think things like, you know, Exalted is going to be big. It's really strong recursion. Doom Reaver's gonna be big, and those are the kinds of things that force you to have a high volume of attacks, which usually means a density of dudes. But I think Circle is gonna be sort of a perpetual limiter on that between how good Devourer's Host is, and then also with sort of how evergreen battle group armies are. You know, if that it kind of prevents a divide into like really polar all infantry and all jacks if the all infantry can't necessarily like consistently deal with the large battle group armies. And I think as far as champions goes and the limited format goes, I can see the trend and where it's going, but I feel like there's some limiters on there that will prevent it from going all the way out to tons of single wound guys right away.
Well, there's always been the players have always been in the driving seat of the meta, I think, to some extent, because like if you think back to old like EE and Runes of War and what was the Denny 2 theme, Body and Soul, like people sat on those for like 2 years, and I mean, admittedly, the meta moved a lot slower back then. Even yeah. still, like the players have to discover things for them to be played.
It's actually my thought a little bit right now too, is I expect 2019 to slow down a lot in terms of how quickly the meta is going to be moving. Goal seems like it's maybe slowing down a little bit as they're introducing more Mon Pok and whatever is going to happen with Riot Quest.
That's another hot take.
Anyways,
they might be trying to push more emphasis on solos.
I'm not even going to touch that, but I just think whatever is good now will probably still be good in the next 6 to 12 months, get developed. But I think we are kind of in that sort of Mark II phase where it's like the good list will kind of just keep being good. I think it's going to slow down a lot, which is maybe a good thing for the game for the short term.
All right. So what's in the game right now that you guys think is going to go away? One thing I would put on the table is the Lich Slayer spam list, which I know we were all talking about this locally. I don't know how much it's caught, but we've all sort of been for the opinion for a while that it's sort of on its way out. Do you guys see any other like really dominant list archetypes right now that we'll see start to phase out?
So I totally agree on the Slayers. I think maybe... I think Nine Slayers, if it's not already out, will be kind of gone because every faction CID has introduced more and more things that just combat it really well. I think maybe the Denny 2 version of Slayers with Deathjack will stick around a little bit just because of how wide it can play. But my opinion is I think any kind of battle group focused list where it's like the 5 or 6 heavy kind of build, unless it's doing something really unique, will probably, my opinion...
Yeah, I can get on board with that. I think I think fire is going to be a lot more prevalent in 2019.
What makes you say that?
There's just a lot of medium-based infantry that really doesn't want to have to deal with fire.
I mean, if you're talking about like rapid healing on like Chosen and Tharn, I guess, but it's kind of like saying, oh, you need a tough out to fight trolls, but that's not true. You actually need an armor cracking out. Tough is just an incidental ability. So like fire kind of fire bypasses the rapid healing role, but you know, it's a low pow attack. It's relatively niche in a lot of factions, and kind of if you're trying to combat rapid healing on your opponent's turn with, you know, 2 out of 3 to get a damage roll on them, it doesn't sound like an effective, like, it's one of those things that counters on paper, but it doesn't sound to me like it's actually as, you know, as effective as advertised, even though it circumvents the rule. You know, what you're really looking for into rapid healing and, you know, to tough as sort of a subset is being able to re-deliver multiple attacks that will force a kill roll, you know, from full or near full boxes.
So specifically, I more mean that there's a lot of fire causing AoE and spray attacks that are going to be very popular. 19 is my expectation. And they're going to be huge problems for people who aren't prepared.
I suppose so.
Like,
I mean,
Judicator sprays, deliver rocket or the
Sunburst.
The Sunburst crew rockets, the Supreme Guardian, that AoE 4 fire is so nasty in a lot of cases because it's just AoE continuous fire. Yeah. And there's a lot of things that just get, half-killed or full-killed right now off of a fire roll if it doesn't go out.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to think of, though, is like, you know, in the Protectorate case especially, you're mostly delivering fire on top of an extremely high-quality attack. Which is quite good, and I think in a place that you want to be. I'm just casting about in my mind, though, for other examples of fire becoming a major theme. And, you know, I don't really see it in most places, you know, because a fire damage roll to a Tharn Ravager or a full health chosen, like, they kind of don't care. So you really want those supported premium attacks that also cause fire, and that seems like a relative rarity, but I can totally get seeing fire as an important thing coming up if you're switching into Protectorate.
Well, again, I think Scorn, I think there's, yeah, we'll see. I mean, I think I'm also betting that the Archangel is going to make a comeback in some kind of Lilith shell.
That's another hot take.
Lilith 3 is going to be back.
Called a comeback. She's been here for years.
Things that are going to be really prevalent in 2019, I think any caster or theme or whatever that brings like heavy control effects, but I think like one colossal battle group is becoming really more common, or even gargantuans are becoming more common, and they can hate control. Battle engines are only popular with the Trident and the Supreme Guardian, and they were, battle engines were already pretty popular to start with. So there's a lot of things where control can become a pretty good answer to a lot of work. So I see things that can help combat that, like Arcane Vortex on the Supreme Guardian being a good answer. So anything like spell hate, control hate, and then on the other side, bringing things that offer good board control will be big in 2019.
I can get on board with that. Again, the way Privateer Press has set things up, it is kind of hard to guess where the game is going to go, because like, there's going to be releases, there's going to be people discovering builds, yada, yada, yada.
I'm starting to come to terms with that, like sitting down and, you know, talking about prognosticating for 2019. You know, there's the CID, which changes things eventually. There's a bunch of stuff that we're waiting to see its overall impact on the game, and some we have an idea about. This will be the first season of Champions as a limited format, really getting a lot of attention because it's now the Iron Gauntlet format. And, you know, for me, because there's so much that's changing in the game right now or new for the first time, you know, I can't even think of what to say the game is going to look like in 6 months. Like, everything leading up to Lock and Load, I think we can speculate about, but we still haven't seen the SR19 document, you know. Once June, July rolls around, like, the game is just a big old question mark. So it's kind of, in my mind, like, all bets are off. You know, the next 6 months are really a time to experiment and hone. And then after that, you know, it's going to be the Wild West all over again.
I'll say my approach to this world where you can't really peg the meta because it changes so much is, I do my Walter White impression where I say, I'm the knock on the door and I'm the danger. I don't worry about what other people are bringing. I just let them try and worry about what I'm bringing. So are both very powerful in their own ways that can do a lot. Just going to play what I think is good, and I'm just going to try and play better than whatever my opponent is, and not worry about, oh, Tharn's out. Now what do I do to Tharn or anything like that?
Yeah, that's been my strategy for a long time, and it's pretty reliable. But I think particularly the Scorn CID and the chain, like the Scorn versus Scorn mirror match, like, I feel like my lists are starting to show their age a little bit. My play experience into it isn't huge, but like, you know, I am actively like reconsidering what am I doing, because the face of the world is very different now. I still feel really confident in the Zadesh 2, Morgul 3 stuff I've been playing. But, you know, it is hitting the point where I'm looking around like maybe it is time for a change.
Yeah. So I guess personally, I guess I'll just talk about what I've been doing. And I've been fiddling a lot with Protectorate. I've switched to Protectorate for 2019, partially out of boredom, partially to help out a local.
That sounds a little bit like me switching to Protectorate several months ago. I'm bored. Let's try something new.
Well, Protectorate was my first love, and I've been slowly rebuilding them ever since I got stolen at LVO. Would have been 2016 or maybe 2015. I'm just bad at year math. And so they're finally fieldable as a real force again. So that's been exciting. Mucking around with Double Judicator. I think people are really sleeping on Malakas Double Judicator.
Yeah, Malakas is really impressive. And like, we got a couple of games in with Malakas, and I was doing the numbers. High Reclaimer is really impressive, you know, when you're rolling a 10 plus more than 50% of the time. But in a lot of situations, Open Fire makes Malakas's Double Judicator build do significantly more damage. There's some real legs to it, and some real surprises that I think people haven't been giving enough thought to.
And a lot of what's it called? The kind of like quote unquote answers to Malakas isn't necessarily like taking a very, or not Malakas, but Double Judicator isn't necessarily taking a ton of anti-shooting.
Yeah, because most anti-shooting doesn't work against it.
Yeah. Just taking enough volume of stuff that whatever survives will be able to kill a Judicator, and then on one Judicator, hopefully you can just kind of walk them down. And Open Fire gives you an extra volume of fire that lets you kind of like change those matchups. And because you can open fire either rockets or sprays, depending on what you need, you kind of get to retool to whatever you need.
Mark, your development this year is a lot more champs focused because you're going to IG, right? So is Malakas something you're looking at as just like a normal Masters pairing, or are you right now figuring out a champs pair?
Well, I can say right now that unless something massive changes in my practice, Malakas is 100% of my champs, and he's very possibly going to be in my Masters pair. I think he's got legs. I'm still like working out the kinks. I've been playing with like suboptimal lists, and I need to find the right balance. Like I want to try and find a build where I can get both Judicators onto him and have enough focus to fully fuel them and open fire twice. And I need to, I think if I downgrade, so I've got an Arc Node on him, I can Dervish and swap the Judicator on Sevi for that Dervish, and then add either a Hierophant or a Vassal. Let me go down to zero camp, but fully fuel both and double open fire every turn.
Wow.
Because he's focus 7, so it'll cost 4 to fully fuel both of them. If you have a Vassal, and then 2 open fires is 4 or 3 if you have a Hierophant. So I'm going to try some more with that build. There's also another build where I fit in Anastasia for the +1 to start, because I think you really want to bully the board. Mm-hmm. To going second so you can control the scoring tempo. And that means that you commit on bottom of 2, which means you can test all zones on bottom of 2. You maybe score, but it's kind of hard to score with this kind of list. But you slow down the scoring sufficiently that you might even just be fine with going second. Then you probably don't need Anastasia, just because everyone wants to go first so bad. And if you want to go second, then for it. But that's just kind of going down the tech rabbit hole. The other list I'm playing around with to complete the pair is Sirenia Faithful Masses. It might become Sevi 2 Faithful Masses. Haven't decided. But I've been liking that. It's probably just going to stay a champs list, because I feel like re-exemplar, or I feel like there's a lot of outside of champs super powerful lists I could play. But yeah, so I'm playing around with things. I don't know how much overlap there's going to be with my champs and my masters. Oh, that's actually going to be a semi-hot take from me. For those of us who are going to cons a lot, my guess is that people are going to make, I want to say suboptimal because that quite encapsulate it, but I think people are going to make list choices based on making sure that they have champs and masters stuff in their bag. So they're going to be more willing to take pairs that aren't necessarily their first choice, just so they don't have to like pack an extra bag to go to a con. That kind of like the same reason that I think like not like the Creel Company Grim 1 4 Battle Engine list didn't really like catch on all that big, because it was just such a pain to travel with.
That's fair.
I think the fact that Champions is being pushed super hard this year means that people are going to make some list decisions based on being able to have Champions and Masters pairs in their bag.
Right. Well, and this wouldn't have been as big a problem in Mark 2, but in Mark 3, because, you know, the themes are so heavily segregated and the factions split out into a bunch of non-overlapping sub-factions, you know, in Mark 2, I think you could, for most players, fit, like, two format-restricted lists and two Masters lists in the same bag pretty easily. Nowadays, you know, you're basically talking about three or four completely different lists with, like, only a couple of models of overlap each, and that gets a lot harder.
I think, though, for the travel, too, the way Champs is structured now is really you probably only need to bring three lists, because for a majority of the people, one of the lists you are likely already playing also exists on Champs. And then you need to go find out, oh, well, the second list of my Masters pair isn't on Champs instead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've worked for a lot of people locally.
I'm having the problem where, like, I look at Kador and I don't really like the options in there. I know I'm kind of in the minority on that. And I look at, what else do I even play? I look at Protectorate, and it mostly looks nice, and I've been sort of entertaining that and thinking about it. And then I look at the Scorn lineup and like, oh, this is a neat lineup. I am not heavily bought into Exalted yet. Crap. And so we've got a Champs tournament coming up in 2 weeks, and I'm like, how the hell am I going to piece together an Exalted list?
It's definitely been a genius marketing strategy for Privateer Press here to force you into the buy-in, because I think, for example, like Slaughter Fleet's another good example of that, where now it's on Champs and it's strong, but the buy-in, it's got a lot of like expensive models because it's like 10-man medium base infantry.
Well, it's the same thing as transporting like, models. Hey, like, buying like, models has the same logistical issue as transporting models now too. I mean, it's smart business, but
worked for me.
Yeah. I mean, I'm. This is actually like weirdly the first time I've hit this in this game like ever. Where I needed to do heavy buy-in because of some metagame or seasonal rotation where I wasn't already going in on a new faction. So that's just something that's going on for me. The Scorn Champions rotation is pretty dramatically different from what I'm playing right now. So, you know, I don't know how much it's going to migrate into what I'm playing in Masters. And just thinking about my schedule, I haven't planned everything for this year, but my expectation is at least out through Lock and Load, I'm probably going to be mostly Masters focused anyways.
Me too. I'm definitely more focused on I think we're both the opposite of Mark. I'm definitely more focused on Masters than on Champs. I'm also fortunate because my kind of list I'm maining, so to say, if that's something you do, is Denny 1 Slaughter Fleet. And that's on Champs. So now I kind of just, LVO is a good example. I can at least go and have my favorite list, and I can play that through Champs. And if it works, great. And if it doesn't work, I just got more reps for Masters the next day. So
Denny will just face tank her way through a bunch of assassinations.
That's the plan.
New year, same old turb.
We've started talking about cons we're going to. Why don't we go through each of our schedules real quick for the 2019, or at least what our plans are, and what cons we're going to be trying to attend.
Sure. I mean, I'll go first, but mine's not fully fleshed out yet. You know, I'm partially waiting on the War Machine Weekend Invitational listings to be finalized. And partially, you know, I have some real life stuff that I need to work out to start projecting my year out like that.
Yeah.
But top line items I want to be hitting this year, I really want to be making it to Kingdom Con again. I love that convention every year. It's fantastic. I am finally, like, financially back on my feet enough that, like, War Machine Weekend is a realistic prospect again this year. And then those are the big two I want to hit. I'll obviously be hitting the NorCal Classic in August. And then beyond that, I'd like to make it up to Seattle at least twice. I'd like to make it to at least two Southwest events. And then maybe something in the Midwest in addition to War Machine Weekend. We'll see. I am doing ATC this year, and definitely going to try and play to, you know, to make it to War Machine Weekend. Or not War Machine Weekend, WTC. That's the one.
Yeah, so for my schedule this year, I'll go in what I think is roughly chronological order. I can't remember exactly, just because, like, the schedule hasn't gone up yet for cons. But so LVO in February, which are going to be pretty quiet for me until about April. And I believe April or May is, or well, April's Kingdom Con. Then May is Seattle Open. Try and do Lock and Load, Phoenix. I'm going to be hosting the NorCal Classic, which, shameless plug, and we're going to be doing a lot of these as we run up to it. August 2nd. It's going to be at Game Castle Mountain View in Mountain View, California. It's roughly equidistant between SFO, San Jose Airport, and Oakland Airport, so it's super accessible to anybody who wants to fly in. We're going to have
Oakland's a bit farther, but for people who aren't from the Bay Area, Game Castle Mountain View is real close to the San Francisco International Airport.
And San Jose. It's equidistant between SFO and San Jose, basically. And
Oakland's
even a little
Oakland
bit further.
Is still... Oakland's still 30 or 40 minutes. It's not super far.
But so we're going to be having Friday and part of Saturday being a WTC style 5-man tournament, and we're hoping to get some of the WTC teams to come in because it'll be in August, so it'll be perfect time to practice. I think it's after list lock, but my memory might be not serving me. And then we're going to be having a solo masters tournament on the rest of Saturday and Sunday. And we did apply to be a War Machine Weekend qualifier this year. We were a wild card qualifier last year, but we've had 75 people express interest in coming on Facebook. So I'm hoping that that's going to nudge us up into the qualifier spot. Because NorCal, I don't believe, has ever had any kind of qualifier. And California used to have two, both in SoCal, but one disappeared in the last couple of years. So we're hoping to get that spot back to California, but put it up in NorCal so we have representation up and down the state.
When Chris goes to War Machine Weekend in the Invitational, this will be why.
Oh, God, I'm just imagining him just ETing all over people. But so for our listeners, we have a local, Chris Griffiths, who's a really nasty Mercs player. He's, I would say, probably one of the top five people in NorCal, for sure.
I think that's fair, yeah.
And especially if I'm going to be barred from playing in the event because I'm going to be TOing, he would be my number one pick for winning the Classic out of all of our locals.
Oh, he won it last year.
Yeah, he won it last year. He might have won it the year before then.
Mm-mm.
Or was that...
That was me.
You lost... Oh, no. No, Alec was beating you, and then you, like, assassinated him out of nowhere or something.
Yes, that's correct. All four of my games ended on assassination. That was a very short day for me. Or was it five? Yes. I don't remember.
So, the Classic's going to be great. Come out to it August 2nd. Tyson's going to be helping me run it.
Will and Tyson event, always the best.
And I think it's going to be a blast, but we'll advertise that more shamelessly as we get closer.
Even less shame, higher quantities of nudity.
Nipples on air. Oh, God. So a bit of an aside slash brag moment. But so I've been invited to lecture a class for the University of California, Santa Cruz. I actually started on Tuesday, and I just have this like horrifying feeling, like it's going to be like a 75 person class, and this is in the game design major there, and I have this horrifying feeling that at least one of them plays War Machine, and they're going to be listening to like my podcast and like how I'm just like this like inane troll man, and they're going to be like, I'm paying UCSC like 30 grand a year so that they can hire clowns like this to lecture.
They put just this like, horrifying goblin up in front of master's students? What's wrong with them?
No, this is an undergrad course.
Even if they didn't play War Machine, they should still be asking that question with you as their lecturer.
No, because I'm going to have an air of professionality in my lectures. Thanks for the vote of confidence.
I'm sorry. That I don't know what it was, but that just fucking got me.
Okay, so what about eating up a lot of my time? After the classic, I'm going to try and go to Phoenix again. I'm not 100% on whether I'm welcome back in Orlando after last time I talked about it on the podcast.
Oh, no, yeah, they're going to greet your plane with torches and pitchforks after you slammed them on the cast.
Tiki torches?
Oh, my God. It's getting worse.
No, but I want to go back, but, like, the flights to Orlando are like super expensive from California, and it's a 6-hour flight. And like the last two times I've had health issues from travel, like I'm a terrible traveler. Like if I'm in a plane for more than 2 hours, like some kind of like death plague gets bestowed on me.
Then by you to everybody else in Northern California.
Yeah. Oh my God. I-5 was a plague nest toward the end.
Yeah, just be glad you haven't gotten the Yuletide flu from me. This has been awful. I basically haven't been sleeping for more than like 3 hours a night for like the last like 2 weeks.
Oh, that's awful. So,
how classic is Phoenix,
I-5? Phoenix, I-5, Orlando, and then War Machine Weekend, hopefully. And
WTC is hopefully in the mix somewhere WTC? There.
I feel like I built up a good resume in this last year, but I feel like with the way that they're picking captains that handpick their teams, I'm fairly certain I'm not going to be picked for captain. And the people who are likely to be picked for captain are not local / don't have a lot of like and are not going to pick me over people that they know.
Right. Yeah. It's a system that's very hard to, you know, in theory, this is our first year doing it, but it seems like a system that it's very hard to get picked up unless you have a personal connection.
Yeah, and I don't want to like use that in like the sense of like cronies, but I more mean like known quantities that they run into a lot at like their circle of events. Like I mostly do like Pacific Northwest and like the Southwest events. I know a lot of the people on that circuit. Those are the people that like I would probably look to first, and those would be like how I would fill out my team first, rather than
in the defense of. The WTC selection, though, also is that I think was the point, was that they want teams to be like people who know each other, so it makes practice and everything.
Yeah, they definitely
cohesion kind of creates that synergy to go do better at the WTC. But
I think they've correctly identified the problem with how we've been building WTC teams for the last couple of years, where there's just been really bad synergy on some of the teams. Sure if this is the right solution, but I'm willing to give it a try.
Yeah.
Even though it means I'm probably not going to go this year.
Well, aside from the fact that you just admitted to the whole community that if you're on a plane for more than 2 hours, you die. And so...
No, Mark just goes with a week on each end so he can get, like, recover in, like, a European plague hospital.
Yeah, no. My parents are going to Europe around that time, and if I make it to the WTC... We're just going to, like, extend their trip by an extra week, and we're just going to, like, do a week in Amsterdam before the WTC.
Nice.
Because they're just going to be, like, dicking around in Bordeaux or something.
Okay, so for me this year, I'll be going to LVO in March. I don't know if there's any events in March. I'm kind of open to finding one, but it seemed like a kind of quiet month. If anyone there is listening and has War Machine Weekend Invitational events in March,
all's quiet on the Western Coast.
Yeah. I'll be at Kingdom Con in April. In May, I'll be at the Seattle Open.
Woo!
And then I have a kid in the beginning of July, which is exciting, but also means, I think, right around June.
And then Brett plays no more War Machine ever again.
So how do you feel knowing that you're literally never going to win a major event before the end of your War Machine career?
Damn. No, he can just make a daddy gaming club with Spatafora. You guys will get to play once every 3 months. It'll be great.
I mean, if you want to practice for that, Brett, I can call you daddy.
This is so terrifying in my head. Oh, God.
Sorry, daddy.
So, anyways, I might classic. It'll be like a day of, like, wake up and see how things are going, but it's easy to just drive over for the day.
You just give Kayla your Legion army and say, you, me, and the kiddo, we're playing in the classic.
Yeah, there we go. And then if by some miracle I qualified for War Machine Weekend in the first half of the year, then I could probably convince Kayla for me to go out there. But most likely it's just going to be those events through May, and then I'll just be kind of playing casual pickup games for a while, and then we'll see in the beginning of next year. Maybe LVO 2020 is when I can make my grand return, but we'll see.
Cool. Well, do we have any other prognostications, pronouncements, or previews we want to do for 2019?
Well, I think maybe just talking about personal growth goals.
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah. Totally forgot resolutions.
Yeah. So normally I'm not a New Year's resolution person because I think they're bullshit. But like, I think in terms of War Machine, where I spend all my time, it's a creative problem solving game where I'm trying to learn and grow constantly, using the whole excuse of New Year's resolutions as kind of like a way to like talk about how I plan on growing in the next competitive season. Is useful. So like I mentioned earlier in the podcast, I'm switching factions. There's a lot of learning curve there. But I think I remember a lot of my Protectorate games were going down to clock. And I don't know if that's still kind of the way that Protectorate plays, but I think clock management is something I want to value, trying to have shorter rounds so that I actually have breaks at tournaments. Something I definitely want to work on. That's kind of like the number one thing for me right now, but in general, just like engaging the community more, doing more community, that kind of stuff is definitely on my docket with expanding and building the classic, doing a lot more leagues and stuff locally.
Yeah, that's kind of similar to mine. Like my own personal growth stuff, I don't think I'm going to set any event goals for this year. Well, no, I take it back. I'm going to top eight everything I go to. That's just going to be my goal for performance for this year. And then, you know, there's some of my own like personal micro stuff. Like I could be better on the clock. I could be better at managing my support. And, you know, this is some stuff we talked in the last episode with Tucker. Like I see my own micro stuff to clean up, but the big goals for me, my last 2 years have been rocky between, you know, dropping into and out of unemployment and having employment situations that weren't ideal. I sort of lost the regular habit of being at weekly game nights religiously and having that level of being tuned into my local community, being, you know, someone who takes an active interest in, you know, finding and growing new players. And I really want to get that back. So this year, 2019 for me is going to be focused on mentorship, getting my footprint back in the NorCal community, finding out some way to replace. Unfortunately, we lost our Oakland game store this year, Endgame. So figuring out some, you know, some sustainable, workable solution for the Bay Area, like the Central Bay Area War Machine crowd to start meeting again and start growing again. So those are my big resolutions for 2019. And then just shaping myself into a mentor, all the stuff I take for granted in my head, being able to explain that to somebody and, you know, cultivate excellence quickly.
You're good. I would say for me, I think I'm kind of splitting it in two. My first half of the year goals are definitely more performance and competitive focused. Like, I agree, top eighting. Like, my baseline goal at any major event is to make Masters. That's just like the first step of success. And then as a stretch goal, is where I'm at. And I'd love to at least top three, one major event this year. And so I think my first half of the year goals are mostly focused about how much gaming I can get in. Like, I'd like to average 4 games a week plus the major events we discussed, and really just focused on developing my skill set with like a solid pair that I'm not going to rotate out. Like, right now it would probably be like Denny 1 Slaughterfleet and Scar 1 Dark Host, and just hammer that through the first half of the year. My second half of the year goals are definitely more just going to be about having fun and not letting myself fall out of the game. Like, try and keep getting some games in even when life will be quite a bit different. And even if they're more just like, I think it's a good opportunity for me to go play lists that maybe aren't even competitive but can be really fun, like Ghost Fleet, or maybe like Convergence, or some Legion lists again or something. Just something that's going to be enjoyable for me and not competitively focused, but at least I'm still playing. And then kind of when life catches up again, I can get back into the competitive swing again. Minimum hiccups.
Boy, that's time. You said something there that really made me realize how like time flies by, and you know how much things change. A year and a half ago, did you imagine anyone would be saying something like, yeah, I want to play something that's not really competitively focused, like Ghost Fleet? Like, yeah, that's some perspective right there.
Well, God, we could do a whole tangent on Ghost Fleet and how it's really, I think, one of the most fun lists you can play in War Machine until you play something that counters it and you're like, this is the worst list in the entire world. This game sucks.
Yeah, that was one of my great not finished projects that I had, by the way, was like basically compiling a history of the competitive wisdom and the competitive history of War Machine, you know, because we have had, you know, I've been playing this game very close to as long as it's been out, and I have access to people who've been playing it literally the game's entire life cycle. But, you know, there's a lot of knowledge that's been lost over time, or like phases or fads we went through. And I went to put together a history of it at one point, you know, because there is a bunch of knowledge that's been lost. And the problem I kept running into is the media this knowledge was kept on is also lost.
Just like back on MySpace? Your top 8?
It would have been close to the MySpace era.
Yeah. I never had a MySpace. I just went straight to Facebook.
Well, you're a youngin', so.
Yeah. It's funny to think about, even still tangential here. Funny to really think about, like, the beginning of Mark III and what was really ball-busting list. And I love thinking about, like, when Ossian had Deadeye was one that was really funny to me.
Do you remember when the top factions in the game were Kador, Signar, and Rhett? I remember that.
Yep.
All right. Well, did we have anything else for 2019?
I think it's going to be a really exciting year. I'm excited to see what the releases look like, Riot Quest, all that stuff. More. One of the things I'm really interested to see where the game goes is I think you'll start seeing factions kind of getting, like, probably by the second half of the year, more like their second CID release. So, for example, like, we did Signar Trenchers. Now, is there going to be a second batch of Signar something?
Signar, all the other theme forces are bad CID.
Well, yeah, that, or is it going to be like a new theme? Like, so that's what I'm wondering, right? Are they going to go start doing like, okay, you had a Trencher release, now we're going to do like a Division release, but we're also going to do Storm Division Legacy model. So are they looking at the themes that we have now are fixed and they're just building into those, or are they going to be like, here is now a Signar, blah, 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 and it's something that's never existed in the game previously? So which direction are they going to go, like vertically or horizontally, I guess.
That's fair. Signar Legacy themes need to be fixed. They're awful.
Yeah, it's funny to think about. There was some comment of, is Signar the worst faction in the game? And you go, no. And then all of a sudden you start thinking about who's worse, and you're like, actually, maybe they are. And what a strange world to live in where Signar could be considered the worst faction in the game.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how that goes. I know we have at least two more Merc Theme Force looks that are going to be done, so it'll be interesting to see who else gets love after that.
And Infernals this year is going to be really
cool. Oh, and Infernals,
the models look amazing. The models look so cool. And then the play style, I'm really interested to see what they do for the mechanic. So should be fun to see.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that wraps us up. Happy 2019, everybody.
Yeah, remember, it's only uphill from here. What? We've hit rock bottom with 2018.
You know, people have been saying that for years. I think there's still a lot of bottom left to be explored.
Well, I don't want to live in that future, so let's let's not do that.
Oh, surprise, you're gonna. I mean, I guess you could change that, but, you know.
Thank you for listening to Dominate for Two. Find us on Facebook and Twitter. Got a question or an episode idea? Email us at dominateforto.podcast@gmail.com.